D2. Number 11B.
Now, we go again back to this first class. And I tell you a little story that actually happened about 300 years ago in the first class in arithmetic. So I hope you're not going to accuse me that I'm getting academic and intellectual. There was in a little town a school teacher and a class. And the school teacher said to the class, "Now you have learned how to add. Now you add now all the numbers from 1 to 10 and tell me what is the sum of it." Did I put it clear? You add all the numbers from 1 to 10 and you tell me what is the sum of it. Therefore, 1 plus 2 is 3, plus 3 is 6, plus 4, what did I say, 6, huh? Plus 4, 10, huh? Where have I been? Oh, I have to go back. Where have I been? 5, huh? You see how difficult it becomes. And it has taken, it would have taken that class quite a while, you see, to add those 10 numbers and make a sum of it. But when that teacher said to the class, "Now you do that, each one by himself, and when you have it, tell me," he had hardly said it, that one little boy got up and said, "It's 55. In the sixth class. It was a man called Gauss. He became a great mathematician, I quite agree, afterwards. Gauss, a great fundamentalist in mathematics. Why did he know that it is 55? Like this. He wasn't sidetracked by the problem. He didn't add. He didn't obey. He didn't say, "Because you said this problem is so and so, I have to solve it that way." And he hadn't that narrow sense of adding. He went further away and further away and further away from the problem and saw 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and he said to himself, "This is not a linear problem. From 1 going to 2 and then from 2 to 3. This is structure." He saw it as structure and he saw, if I take the first and the last as a pair, the 1 and the 10 as a pair, I have 11. And I have 5 times such a pair of double. See, he looked at it and says, 1, the first and the last, 1 and 10 is 11. And it gives 5 times these pairs. Is that right? A pair, a group of 2, you see. 5 times, so 5 times 11 is 55. Can you see what he did? He had, it's quite amazing for us. First, he didn't let him be distracted by the problem. He said, "Oh, low, to add." And he never added. He said, "I'm not going to add, I'm going to make a structure of it. I take the first and the last, that's an addition, but that's only one addition instead of doing 10 additions. That's 11. And I divide the 10 by 2, because 2 pairs is 5, make a division and come to 5, and then I multiply 5 by 11. Instead of making 11 addition, he made very more apparently complicated calculations, namely an addition 1 and 10, a division from 10 into pairs like 5, multiply the 5 by 11, so he had addition, division, and multiplication. How difficult science is, huh? For him, it was the easiest. For him, it was the easiest. It's only a matter of perspective. If I have the perspective of a linear concept of arithmetic, then I will add and add and add and add. If I get the broader perspective, I see if I, instead of adding, I can multiply. And the broader the perspective comes, I see more structure, and I use all that there is available in mathematics and just shoot right at it. See? Well, at our time, this is the story, apparently the true story. When I went to school, this was taught me another example. It was taught that the teacher wanted to have a quiet hour and didn't know what to do with his class, so he said to the class, you add 1 to 100, each number from 1 to 100, you see. And I thought, that gives the student about an hour to work on, until he has written up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and perhaps the 13, 31, 32, 33, and then 61, 61, then adding and adding and making a lot of mistakes. So, instead that it takes an hour, you just can say the first and the last is 1 and 100, that 100, 101, and it has 50 pairs. 100 divided by 2 is 50 pairs, that's 50 times 101, that's 5,050, finished. Within half a minute. Now, we can say to this, this is high mathematics, but it isn't. It's simple. If we don't know the structure, we say we don't even know it. We go the heavy way of adding and adding and adding. The more we have distance to the whole thing and see the whole thing as interwoven into each other, the more we see the structure, the more we see the structure, we see the interrelationships which are possible. This reminds me of what you certainly have read quite often about Mrs. Eddy and Adam Dickey, that in her later years she took Adam Dickey and said to him, now can't you all get out of addition? You do not have to stay in addition all the time. If you have the same principle, see, took it back to the principle, it is just as easy, and in fact easier, to multiply than it is to add. You must rise out of the addition of Christian Science and let God, divine mind, multiply through you. This, in this statement, there is a whole world included. That whole world which first of all says you don't have to have that linear concept of adding, adding, adding. Of, you know what the linear, with a linear concept I mean? Is that we only go to the next one, and then from there to the next one. That we are completely blind to the whole. That's what we usually are in using our Christian Science. We are just seeing here on the top of the nose our first problem. And if we can solve that problem here right on the nose, then I feel I have done something. Even if that nose goes into the wrong direction. That's what usually happens in practice. It's ridiculous, I quite agree, but that's what usually happens. That we have a problem, say, I have a problem. I don't see further than what the problem is. And solve it perhaps even in a way, or try to solve it in the way, which is no good for us. Because it doesn't belong to the structure. There is a bigger structure about it in our life. And so, science, which is the contemplation of the infinite one, including all the ideas, that has a comprehensivist point of view, that takes in the whole, and only from the point of view of the whole detects the structure and therefore the meaning of each individual case. So we can see, therefore, I would say that in the measure, you see, that we try to be a Gauss and consider being not as a metaphysical field, but as a structural, being, and have a comprehensive view, then through those two principles, the principle of comprehensiveness or the principle of complete integration of the whole, plus the principle of identity, gives us the quickest answer and the most efficient answer. I just have a feeling that I got too far, too quick again now. First we had the principle of identity, which said that which is happening as a problem apparently outside has its identical response within our understanding. Those eggs and prices become within me a mathematical calculation. Identical gives the right solution. But second, we have seen with Gauss that the more comprehensive our structure of understanding, our, if we will call it our theoretical or abstract understanding of being is, the more comprehensive it is, therefore through the law of identity, we respond to much higher sense of identity. Again? Was it clear? Clear is that? Yes. So instead of just having the response of an additional sense of Christian Science, we really should now culture that sense of having the response and identity of a comprehensive structure of science. So the principle of wholeness, the principle of integrated consciousness, the principle of comprehensiveness, or whatever we may call it, you see, as a self-organizing system and structure, is naturally responding within us to everything that happens. You see, I think in... how much time else? In practice, we have that. That sometimes we are just looking at the very first problem which we have to solve. That we think, well, I want to achieve this. I want to demonstrate that. We determine with our blind, narrow sense what should be happening with us through science. It's the typical classical logic in which we are, have been brought up. That classical logic on the basis of the law of causality, which is causal, but which is final and deterministic. This has been our education. If we knew it or didn't know it, that was our education. We have been brought up in every field of learning in the school that there is cause and effect, that I have to go out from cause and effect, and that when we have the effect, that's the end. We have never been taught that that end is a point in the whole and does it make sense in the whole. As long as we could have the effect according to law, we have been very good at school. No matter if that has made sense in the whole of being. We construct atom bombs, that was the law of cause and effect, and it is final, we have it, and we can explode it, it's final. It has no theological sense in it. Does it make sense to have a lot of atom bombs to be exploded or not exploded? Is that really what we want to do with our life and with our world and with mankind? There are more and more atom bombs to be exploded. That's the education we have. We must come to realization that over 300 years the Western civilization has been brought up on a wrong education. On that wrong education which Newton brought. Good old Newton, thanks to him, but he didn't know what he was doing to mankind. That everything should be cause and effect, and when the effect is there, that's the end. That's because all those laws of causality are final. They are deterministic. They say, I want to achieve this and this. That's my determination. And that's the end. It's blind to the future. It's blind to the whole. It makes no sense in the whole. And today, that is being brought up to consciousness in the people, that this is a completely wrong education which we have. So, in Christian Science, we have naturally taken over those 300-400-year-old education and have put it as a network on Christian Science and have said, yes, cause and effect. I want to have the effect that I get the better job. And I would like to have that and that job. So, where is the cause for it? How can I bring about this cause? Can you see? It's not looking at it in the distance and says, what is being? What is being doing? What is being doing with me? Let the divine mind multiply through me. I have a linear concept of Christian Science at that moment and say, I have to solve this and this problem, this and this way. Or we have that linear, blind concept. We are sick and say, the very first thing we have to do is to see that it is error and that I have to get healed of it. You say, yes, isn't that right? No, I say, that's not right. I say, it's not right. If we get sick, there must be a cause, all right. But we can't determine why we have become sick and why we should get whole again, unless we put that whole problem into the whole of life and see what is the purpose, what is the blessing of that situation. Instead of saying, this is error, this has to be fought, and this has to be fought like hell, I can say, there is a blessing happening. What is it? Is its blessing within the whole? Maybe quite good for some people to get sick. That's the red line which says, now, old boy, be careful. You're on the wrong track in your life. Because you were not wise enough, I put you first in a sick bed, and then you have time to think out what you are doing in your life. Perhaps you have to change your whole life. That's what has to be healed. That you must have another purpose in life. That you must use your energies and your intelligence and your resources for another purpose. See, that's different. I can look at sickness in a deterministic way and say, oh, this is error, this has to be healed, away with it as quickly as possible. Or I can be a Gauss and looks at it from the distance and says, oh, what's happening? And then I work out something different. I use a different method. Then I don't use addition. Then I use perhaps multiplication. Then I use a higher level or anything like that. Because the problem is not to make that man healthy again, but to give him again a new purpose in life or anything like that, what it may be, from the wholeness. And so a sickness mustn't be from the devil. Sickness can be a very dear angel coming to us. Before error can knock us out right away, it says, I just give you a little bit of taste of it, I just make you a little bit sick, perhaps you learn then something, before I just hit you hard and fast. See, think of all the people who just die out of heart troubles, how wonderful it would be for them to have first a little warning, and have a nice time at rest in the bed for a few weeks until they really get down to rock bottom thinking and say, what I'm here for? I'm here for to work for another firm like hell, that they can make money and that I'm a worn out man after 6 years. What is the purpose of life? I would consider this a higher purpose of healing, which would need another way of dealing with it. Instead addition, I may use division and multiplication or anything like that. And this is the same case with practically everything which we call, so to say, an error. We can look at it in that linear way or in that comprehensive sense, as a comprehensivist. Now, therefore, can you see what the chart is really wanting us to do? It says, I cannot apply the chart, but understanding the chart, understanding the abstract, although I don't like the term abstract nor theoretical, the principled sense of that chart, I begin to understand the divine cybernetic routine of that chart, or divine cybernetic dynamic of that chart. And therefore, I get a bigger sense of being, and because there is the principle of identity, that chart is me, lives in me. It isn't outside, therefore I don't have to apply it, because it's me. Just as the music that is played there on the violin is in me as sound, in its identical way. Therefore, the chart cannot be applied, the chart applies us. The chart gives us that information as the structure of arithmetic has given to Gauss and said, you can have that easy combination and calculation. So, if we study the chart or ponder the chart and see what it means, we do well if we take the chart in a rather systematic, disciplined way, think out the levels, think out the four of all the levels, think out the verticals through all the levels, the diagonal of all the levels, just think them out, because that gives structure in our consciousness. It gives that cybernetic, divine cybernetic sense, which then responds to all experience in the world. Yeah, I think that's quite enough for today.